The following is brought to you by the Social Suplex Podcast Network.
This is All Things Elite. Welcome back to All Things Elite. Load up the pod, man, it's on when we speak. Rich right here, let me warm it up for Austin and Floyd. Couldn't be no one but the boys. When it come to All Things Elite from the fan perspective, swear, man, it ain't no question. Hear from them first. Swear, man, they putting in the work. No, they had to get me for the verse. Social Suplex Network Zone. I was at a time in your headphones. Austin and Floyd on the microphone. Backing out on the rant, getting in the zone. Pulling up the show, give it 7 stars, you already know. Who else could it be but the show with the proclivity for a positivity? I'm gone.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the 282nd episode of Social Suplex's podcast about AEW with a proclivity for positivity. Welcome to All Things Elite. My name is Austin Sumwitz. I'm the host of this lovely show. Joining with me, as always, is my good buddy and friend, Mr. Floyd Johnson Jr. My man, how are you doing?
So, my NBA team, the Thunder, well, when I say my NBA team, the team I'm rooting for right now, the Thunder, they got their ass kicked tonight, which I was hoping, you know, I'd be celebrating. I even warned you that we might not do the show tonight because I would be celebrating. And, yeah, no, we got the shit beat out of us. And, yes, I'm using we. I'm a part of the team, even though I'm not. I can honestly say I'm a lightweight NBA watcher. I wouldn't even call myself a fan. If anyone knows that about me, I hold fan to a very, you know, high standard. I am a fan of Oklahoma City, as in my city, and that's why I want the Thunder to win. And but, you know, like I said, if they don't win, I'm not going to be like, oh, my God, my heart is broke. It's just going to be like, oh, okay, we didn't win, because I'm not going to. But there's much more bigger, much more dedicated Thunder people here. They have a diehard fan base. I'm just more of the, oh, Oklahoma City's in it, so I'm paying attention kind of thing. But but just a brief, so you can just know a little bit about it and why it means a lot to me. For anyone that's not, anybody's like, why does he care? Well, when I was growing up, I am 44 years old, you know, turned recently or whatever. So I grew up in the 90s, right? And there was no professional teams in Oklahoma City. We got a minor league hockey team, minor league baseball team. Shit, we couldn't even get an arena football league. We got an arena football 2 team. The minor leagues of arena football. Arena football is basically considered a minor league, and we weren't even good enough to get an actual arena football team. We just got an AFL 2 team, right? So when Madden, you were like 5 when this happened. When Madden started letting you relocate your teams to other cities, Oklahoma City was so far off the map, it wasn't even a city that offered. You couldn't move your team to Oklahoma City. So, it just wasn't an option. Or you just had to go in and call them the OKC something. And there was ways around it, but they weren't a team on the map that you can pick. So, I went to WrestleMania 20. We just had 41, so that was 21 years ago. That would be 2004, right? When I went to New York City, and I'm a talker. I made a few friends, and I was talking to these people, and I said, I'm from Oklahoma. They were like, oh, you're from Oklahoma. Do you have malls there? Do you ride around on horses and buggies? So this is New York City, 2004. I am dressed like them. I'm literally got lugs on. I think I had lugs on and, wrestling shirts, like dressed modern, just like them, right? But they still thought people in Oklahoma were in horses and buggies. So this is not 50 years ago. This is 2004. How old were you in 2004?
2004, I was probably 7.
There you go. 2004, you were 7. So in your childhood, there were people outside of my state that basically thought we were the Old West. Dude, I want to make it clear. I had at that point never even been on a farm. I'm a city boy all the way. So that's how far off the map that we are. So if the Oklahoma City Thunder somehow pull this off, in the year of our Lord, 2025, the best NBA team, the best basketball team in professional basketball will be located in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. You will be forced to know who we are. And, I mean, we are on the map. Charles Barkley, all that stuff came here and say we're not bad. And I've seen people here, and it's, you know, people come here now. But it's just, like I said, it's just, we will be known for something that's not the Oklahoma City bombing. And as an Oklahoman, as y'all might hear, a very proud Oklahoman, someone that loves where I'm from, that's going to mean a lot to, you know, the city and the people around here. But, yeah, after we win this one, if we win this one, yeah, I kind of will check out again. Like, whatever. But it's just like,
at this point, man, yeah, you're just caring about the one that's right in front of you right now.
Yeah, let's get seven. Let's get game seven. And that's the whole thing. It is difficult for me because it's funny. The two times they've been in the finals, the first time they played against my favorite player ever, which is LeBron James. The second time they're playing against Indianapolis, and I have friends that I love very much in that area that are much bigger basketball fans than me that really, really want that title, and to the point where I won't even talk to them about it. Because as a Chiefs fan, you get these people that come in and like, man, I spent 3 months in Philadelphia, go Eagles. And it's like, well, fuck you, dude. You know, this actually means something to me, and you coming in here with your casual viewership saying you're rooting for my other team, fuck out of here, you know? So I'm not going to do that to them. You know what I mean? I'm not
right.
I'm not going to be talking shit but like, Thunder got one. No, I'm like, let's just not talk about it because I hate when people do it to me. And what I am is very much a fair person. So if I hate when something is done to me, I damn sure ain't going to do it to you. So we had that conversation. So, yeah, this is our basketball talk for today. But it's game seven Sunday. It's exciting. If it was literally like it was Indiana in like fucking Utah or fucking Denver, I'd be like, oh, cool. And I'd just be able to watch it and enjoy it. But because it's my city, I'm going to have this type of, you know, like nervousness, like I'm playing.
Yeah, there's going to be a little bit dread.
Yeah, like, oh, do you pay for the team? I'm like, no, but, you know, I kind of want them to win, and I want a parade here, and I want to celebrate. And I'm like, I don't know if it's going to happen. And, like, anything I say, I always tell people, anything I say about current basketball is just, like, my minute observation. Unlike a lot of people, I don't think I'm an expert in everything. I just watch basketball. I'm not like, you have seen more basketball than me in a weekend that I've seen all year, you know, like, so I'm not going to be like, yeah, if they just do this, they'll get the job. I'm fucking no. If they score more points than the other team, they'll win. That's my breakdown of basketball. So I saw Halliburton tonight, who I didn't think was playing because I thought he was too hurt, but apparently he came in the game and he played well, and he, like, made a couple defensive plays. And I was like, man, he made some defensive plays, and then someone tells me, oh, he's an average defender, and I'm like, fuck if I know if he's an average defender. I just saw him make good defensive plays. I don't know that. I don't know how good he is.
All I know is that dunk from fucking Siakam was one of the most insane shits I've ever seen. He put that man on a poster.
Yeah, we got violated in a way that would get criminal charges if it happened in real life.
A little bit, yeah. They sat their players and they're like, we're just going to pack it in, get things done in game seven, which is what they got to do, get it done in game seven.
And I'm a very optimistic person because I have Patrick Mahomes as my quarterback, so I always think my team can come back. He's broken me that way. I was like, even when it looks terrible, I'm like, we can come back. Because, again, you know, Mahomes so many times has happened. So, but now it's just like, okay, we're gonna get this done. But that's our basketball talk. I did want to say one more thing. I have never, I had a couple old people moments. First old people moment. So my room is clean. I have sent people videos, pictures, or whatever, if you're close to me. I'm not trying to send it out to everybody because I ain't trying to get robbed. But I've sent it to the people close to me. You've seen the spectacularness, which is my clean room. Now, I will tell you, this is what's weird and old. For the first time in my life, I've gotten satisfaction out of cleaning. Like, I never, ever in my life got us. Like, my parents would make me clean my room, and you think once you're done, you'd be like, man, yeah, I did it. No, I'd be like, fuck, why did they make me do that? Well, now I've done this, and shout out to my homegirl, Christine. She did her setup in her room, and it looked so amazing, and I was looking at my room, and it looked like, you know, a tornado had went through it. And so I was like, you know what? For my birthday, what I'm going to do for myself is clean up my room. Y'all all heard this story. I'm going to move past. So I get my shit together, and I clean it, and it's just like, dude, I've just been coming, which is something I never did. I just come in my room when it was time to work. I've just been, like, sitting in here watching TV and just taking in everything because, you know, I mean, there's more than a few paychecks on my wall. Just put it that way.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, just a bit.
Yeah, so it's been a good vibe. And then, so that made me feel old. And the second thing is the Lakers sold for $10 billion. Again, this is not wrestling.
To the owner of the Dodgers, too.
Yeah, to the owner of the Dodgers. But how I put it to our friend Rich Latta is, again, 44 years old, born in 1981. This is the first time in my life that a McMahon doesn't own the WWE and a bus doesn't own the Lakers.
Crazy.
Like, I thought those names would be synonymous with those brands for my whole life. The first NBA owner I knew was Jerry Buss. Like, the first one that I knew was Jerry Buss. So the idea, you know, that his family sold it, I understand it was a, you know, super bag and they had their reasons. I have no rooting interest other than I'm a LeBron fan. But it is crazy, like, how life comes at you. And Austin, in what, 16 years when you get my age? That's going to be fun. I'm like, hopefully I'm still alive. You know, like, so do you feel old? Because I think between that 40 to 50 age, just depending on how your life is when you start really recognizing how much the world has changed that you lived in.
Right, exactly. And then you're just like looking around
and it's
trying,
like,
to remember where everything just switched.
And yeah, and you, like, in most rooms, especially in the wrestling room, I'm the oldest guy in the room. And if I'm not the oldest guy, I'm one of the five oldest guys in the room. You know, it's not like a lot of people are older than me. So it's like, I always say this, I like, my takes can be old, even though I'm trying to keep up and I have, you know, the rest of the Soul Suplex people to try to keep up with. You know, I'm never going to fake how I feel. I'm not going to be like,
sure,
I like this because I see everybody else likes this. I'm going to like what I like, and I'm going to say what I like, even though it was like, oh, that's a terrible take. I mean, it's not really a take. It's just what, you know, my opinion on the situation. But whatever. I'm old.
Yeah, just a bit.
Yeah.
But either way, we got so much to get into because what we just watched this past Wednesday was a very cool moment in AEW and in pro wrestling history. With AEW holding Grand Slam Mexico in Arena de Mexico. And yeah, we got a lot to get into from this show. And of course, we're just continuing to get closer and closer to the one and only All in Texas, counting down the days now. Before we get into everything, though, guys, we want to make sure you guys are downloading this fine show on YouTube Music, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you choose to listen to us on. Give us a share with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you wish. Rate, review, subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. You can leave a review if you would like as well. And then also follow us on social media at ATLeetPod. You can also follow at Social Suplex who make this show possible. And check out all the other shows they have on their network. I am at Austin Sumwitz, SZUMOWICZ. Floyd is at Floyd Johnson Jr. on Twitter. Go to Chop Tees. Get a t-shirt from Chop Tees from us. And go sign up for the Social Suplex newsletter. Links are in the description of the show right here. And big news of the week is the fact of AEW competing and holding the first American-promoted show in Arena del Mexico in collaboration with CMLL. And
they actually have three shows this week that had ROH or AEW participation in it. So that's pretty cool.
Yep. It's nuts. And the biggest thing I want to put into just from this news of the week as it is that crowd showed out. like, I was so happy to see the turnout was massive and that everyone in that crowd seemed like they were just in the moment having such a good time. Because it was just like a really cool moment in time to just kind of watch like the crowd move with the matches and just really be engaged. And at the same time, just see this collaboration. It worked so well. It was really, really fun. It made the show entertaining. And I will say too, because me and Floyd were a bit like whirlwinded from the last two episodes of Dynamite being 4 hours long, 2.5, solid.
Yeah.
I wasn't getting winded or anything.
And it was just paced very well. The matches had a lot of action. And because, I guess, it might have been the Arena in Mexico thing, it was just a lot of wrestling. They weren't trying to cut promos or backstage segments. It was like match, 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 match. You know what I mean? So that was cool.
Oh, yeah. Big time. So we can just go ahead and get right into the show, opened up.
Before the show, I was going to talk about, I don't know if you see the notes.
Oh.
There was a show Tuesday, and it was CMLL En Vivo. Arena Mexico. I'm just going over the results really quick, just so what everybody know. Red Velvet wrestled Persephone. I got on CMLL, got on their YouTube, bought the $8.99 so I could watch it, because I'm trying to watch all the shows this week, because there's so much AEW participation, and, you know.
Yeah.
So Red Velvet versus Persephone. Persephone wins with a sit-out powerbomb. That was actually a very good match. Crew versus Angel de Oro Niebla Roja. Angel de Oro and Niebla Roja. I don't know if they had a name as a team. They beat Crew. Hologram beat Neon with a tornado powerbomb. I actually thought Neon was going to win, but that made sense. Atlantis Jr. beat Josh Alexander with a roll up. I actually found that match a good one. What I found is Lucha versus traditional American wrestling is like my favorite thing in the world. So yeah. Josh Alexander throwing suplexes, then Atlantis Jr. flying all around and doing his shit. I love how those styles clash. Averno, Euphoria, Gran Guerrero, Ultima Guerrero beat the Don Callis family of Hechicero, Kyle Fletcher, Takeshita, and Rocky in a match. My match of the night, which was the main event, and I say go back and watch it because I just thought it was an excellent match. I remember I went into our little chat and said this match was a banger, and it was Mascara Dorado versus Magneto. That match was amazing. Like it grabbed me. Like I of course did not understand any of the commentary or anything that's going on, which is fine, but that match just grabbed me with the work. So I thought that was really cool. So that was the show. So you can start with the Dynamite review.
Sounds good. We'll go ahead and we'll get right into the start of the show, which opened up with Hangman Adam Page coming out to the ring, and he stepped into Arena del Mexico and got into the ring, got on microphone, and he cut an entire promo in Spanish. Cut an entire promo to the Mexican crowd in their language, spoke to them, and was a really, really genuinely cool gesture that he did. And it was just a nice little moment for the crowd too, because they were really getting excited for the reaction. Just the fact of this happening in the first place. They ended up putting up a translation for it after the show on the website and on social media. If you didn't end up seeing that, just to get an idea of what Hangman's promo was, here it was translated in English. Hi, my name is Hangman, and I want to apologize for my Spanish because it's not the best, but it's a little better than many gringos. So he's going to try. So he said when he was young, his family had a tobacco farm, and every summer, like, six men would come from Marie's Nayarit to work. He mentioned the names of the people who worked on his farm with him and said they were every year that he worked with them, they taught him about Mexico, and they were hard workers, honest, cared for their families, taught him that we are all better when we work together. And this is why I want to thank you for having us in your house tonight. Thank you for this collaboration between AEW and CMLL, because when we work together, we can change the world. Now he will talk about our champion, John Moxley, and said he does not have a match. Now, he's sorry to say that Hangman doesn't have a match tonight. He's not allowed to be in the same arena during Moxley's match, but nobody said anything about after the match. So he said, after all of that, I will beat his ass. Until then, thank you to everyone here in Arena Mexico, and I will see you soon. Very, like I said, cool moment. From all the reactions I've seen to from people on social media that are of that heritage or speak that language, or, you know, it connected with them big time to see Hangman do it. And more than anything, too, it's like a true babyface move just to be able to do something like that for the house. Like, that's speaking to the house in every sense of the word, and that's what you expect out of a top babyface. So just to see Hangman do that was very, very cool. And plus, he's a teacher. You know, at some point, I'm sure he may – I don't know if he taught Spanish, probably not in high school, but you know what? He's a teacher. He can go ahead and he can learn a couple weeks of Rosetta Stone or whatever the hell he's got to do in order to be able to do the promo. But it was incredibly well done by Hangman. And it put a smile on my face just to see the whole thing take place.
Yes, on social media, it was completely a positive experience for everyone that experienced it. I heard news after the show that fans were like, that AAA or CMLL, not AAA, I didn't mean that. CMLL wants to bring him in for more appearances because of how good he did the Spanish. So I am really happy for Hangman. It really worked for him in getting over with the crowd, getting over with the audience, and definitely good vibes. And that was cool for him.
Yeah, it was awesome. We then moved into the giant freaking 14-man tag match that was put together. So one thing we saw was that Cash Wheeler, unfortunately, was not in this match.
Boom.
I believe, yeah, we
yes.
got Dax.
I got to tell you, Cash not being there and how this last match ended, it was like, yeah, I'm kind of okay with that. I didn't go to Mexico.
Just a little bit. I believe he was replaced with Volador Jr. And then there was another person, I believe, that was on the babyface side that was replaced too. That was replaced by No, that was a different match, actually.
They're different match that Claudio got replaced.
So yeah, Dax Harwood, Volador Jr., Konosuke Takeshita, Kyle Fletcher, Lance Archer, Josh Alexander, and Hechicero versus the TNT champion Adam Cole, Ring of Honor champion Bandido, Daniel Garcia, Atlantis and Atlantis Jr., Templario, and the King himself, Brody King. There's a lot of No Kings protests going around. There's one King we're all cool with, and that's Brody King. That man showed up in a Abolish ICE shirt. Fucking legend.
Yeah.
Fucking legend is all I'm going to say on the matter. Hell yeah.
Another thing that was largely praised, Brody King's gear. And it's funny because he's one of those people that I don't know if he'll ever get the all the way push. I don't know if that's going to happen, but it seems like the fans would be behind it. He's like the big guy that everybody seems to love. So one day, if they want to get behind Brody King for a nice little title run, I think everybody would be okay with him winning.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, absolutely.
No, I'm a thousand percent with you on that, because Brody is a fucking beast and gets such a good reaction, and I would be 1,000% in for that happening for him to.
He has the best look in wrestling. He has the best look. I'm like, he's, what, 6'5", 6'6". He's covered in tattoos. He's big, but he's not like fat looking. He looks in shape. And he just looks like a guy you don't want to walk down the alley with. And it's just, but if you, I got to say, not trying to ruin anything for him, but if you meet him, nicest fucking human you've ever met.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, dude, super nice. I'm like the like as soon as he started talking, the intimidation factor went away. I'm pretty sure he could still kill me, but he does a good job of making you feel comfortable. So, no, I just thought that this was an ultimately good moment. This is why I think, again, this is how AEW separates itself from other places. They still allow the wrestlers to be individuals.
Yes.
Like, I don't think he gets to rock that shirt in other places.
No chance. No chance, I feel like. Especially just being able to do what, like, the cool stuff they did with that crowd, too. But in regards to the giant 14-man tag match, I will say this firmly. This was very, very fun. It was very high energy. Gotta say, they're like, I've already said before, multi-man matches like aren't necessarily my big thing, and considering the fact that this was like 7-on-7, like it was too many people for me. Like there was too many people. Good. Everyone was able to get some good shit in, I will say. Like especially, I thought Bandido and Konosuke had a really cool face-off that would lead me to want to see them have a singles match. Like, there's no reason why you couldn't take Bandido versus Konosuke for the Ring of Honor title and put that on All In. Like, to me, that's a match you could make right now, and people would be hyped about it. Their little face-off was awesome. It was awesome just seeing the Mexico crowd react to Atlantis and Atlantis Jr., because apparently, in CMLL, they are not liked right now. Specifically, apparently, Atlantis Jr., but both of them were getting booed like crazy. Hechicero was also getting mega babyface reactions, even though he was on the heel team. But yeah, it was a fun time. Obviously the finish was involved with Dax and, Atlantis. So, you know, the crowd wasn't necessarily like too over the moon about that whole ordeal anyway, but still, it was supposed to just be like a little moment to just kind of close out that little mini rivalry they were building up to this show. I loved how just Bandido was able to just get such a good reaction. I feel like he's shown his skills in this match and just, you know, his connection with the audience too. But yeah, I thought this match was pretty solid. But
yeah. Yeah, 14,
for the most part, it's too many fucking people, 14, dude. It's too many.
14-man tags is never going to be on the show Floyd books. I'm just going to put it that way. I respect it. I understand that in CMLL, this is something that can happen. They're all about these type of matches. It's very exciting. I don't think there's rules enough for me. It was just a lot of stuff going on, and then someone won, and I was like, and you know, I started, you know, being old. Starting like, was he even the legal men? I don't even know. I was like,
people
were just coming in and stuff, and seeing as I'm a fan of Follow the Rules, and then he got rolled up. I was like, I'm pretty sure Dax wasn't even legal. I mean, Dax lost, but I'm sure it wasn't even legal. But the highlight of the match for me, and I came in with a note that all I was going to focus on is I need Tenkesta and Bandido, and I need them in the C2, and I need them either on the same bracket or whatever, because, or just give me Tenkesta and Bandido for the ROH world title at Supercard of Honor. Tenkesta can work 2 days in a row. He can. He's tough, because this was amazing. I just thought that little bit I saw, especially when Takeshi was going to hit him and he put a gun to his head, I was like, God, I need this match. I need this match in my life. Takeshi, just a little information. I didn't throw this in the news, so we're already talking to him. He got announced for the G1. He's in the B block. And he's going to be going from July 18th. He's going to be gone from AEW during the G1 tour.
Which makes sense.
New Japan announced their people. I personally, I don't, like I said, I don't know the working relationship, the back end stuff. In my preference, I would have liked to see more AEW guys there in the G1, because I've said this before on the show, and if you listen to the show, you're either going to agree with me or disagree. It should be a concerted effort for AEW to keep New Japan as strong as possible. Because it's not, because if you look at what the other companies are doing and trying to take over the world, it is much easier to take over a company when it's weak. So AEW, with its partners, should do whatever it takes to keep CMLL and New Japan as strong as possible. I don't care if you have to, you know, give up some people that you might plan on using and make some adjustments. Keep New Japan as strong as possible. Keep them drawing. Keep their gates up. All that kind of stuff. Because I was hoping to see, like, maybe a Josh Alexander in there. Just, you know, like, some of the people that aren't necessarily at the top of the card but aren't at the bottom. You know, get them over there. Get them some days. Let them put on some banger matches. Maybe bring them back hotter in AEW. So I just wanted to throw that out there. It's just, it should be an effort. I know Tony Khan is not old New Japan. He's not responsible. But in this war that's going on, quote unquote, I'm not saying this is the Monday Night War, but in this wrestling war that's going on, you're only as strong as your allies. So keeping your allies just as strong as you are matters. You agree? Disagree? What?
I can absolutely understand that point for sure.
Yeah, because
I don't got much else to add. Yeah, really. You've said pretty much.
I'm a New Japan fan to the core. I'm starting to watch a little more CMLL, but I'm a New Japan fan to the core. New Japan started me down this path of wrestling, so I always want them to be strong. So, and keeping the strong style wants their company to be strong too. So, yeah.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, it's even better for Social Suplex when New Japan is strong. So, I you know, because I've seen the little, you know, the people that have the going back between New Japan and AEW, that's never going to be me because I love them both. So,
sure. Absolutely. Yeah. We moved in next to the match between Mark Briscoe and the AEW Continental Champion, Konosuke Takeshita. They showed the video package of what took place last week with Okada basically killing Kenny Omega with the elbow drop on the gurney. So he made him spit out blood and everything like that. So Okada comes out. It was fun. I loved it. The crowd was really getting behind Mark in this match. His kung fu moves always got great reactions too. And it was kind of a battle of two elbow drops with the froggy elbow and, of course, Okada's elbow, which he was really selling after what he did to Kenny Omega, which I thought was really cool. The cockiness in Okada was great. I thought it was really strong. Crowd was chanting for Kenny during the match too because they wanted to see him give Okada his comeuppance. It would have been too early though if it would have happened right now, obviously, because of how much blood he was spitting out. And like, you know, you want to make people wait for him to come back from an injury like that, you know, as you say. Milk that a little bit more.
Yeah, I was upset for the CMLL audience that didn't get Kenny Omega, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe send in a video or something. I don't know, but I understand what they're trying to do. And the Okada thing is easy. They're trying to present Okada as New Japan Okada now.
Yes.
He has been, since he got in, he has never been New Japan Okada. He's been the bitch guy. He's been the member of the Elite. He, you know, he's still a cocky heel, but he's cocky heel in a different way than he was in New Japan. Over right. the last 2 weeks, they are reverting. They're like, okay, we want the Rainmaker back. And, okay, we don't have Gedo because he's in America, so we give him Don Callis, right? Don Callis is the new Gedo in this situation. And even last night, every match, pretty much, you know, up until I think Eddie Kingston was like one of the rare ones, he has been playing up the heel person that cheats. He didn't really cheat. He just beat Mark Briscoe. It was a pretty much, I wouldn't call it a squash, but it was a definitive win. He just beat him. He hit him with that close. He hit him with the Rainmaker, and it was over. There was no nut shot to eye gouges or anything. He's just the elite wrestler that he was. Again, we got New Japan Okada because New Japan Okada was heel, but he just beat people. He was just better than your guy, And he was just better than Mark Briscoe last night. And then there was an attack after. But it's just like you feel the vibes. They're trying to catch the energy of the original Rainmaker Okada against Kenny, my God, Omega.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I think they're doing a great job with that because I think he's dangerous. He's vicious. And Don Callis is his Gato. That's the thing, too. It's it just works so well.
And got the monster crew behind him, but he's not really in the crew. It's like he's a Don Callis' side project because he's not really in the Don Callis family, but he has Don Callis.
Yeah, exactly. We then had... It's tough. I don't know if this is match of the night for me, considering what comes next, but... Just for moment alone, it might be, honestly. We had Mystico versus MJF. And oh, is this just classic old school wrestling type shit. MJF comes in, cocky American, waving the flag. He's got MVP's jumpsuit on yet again, but this time it's got Uncle Sam plastered right on the side of it. And here comes Mystico. The man walked in like he was God. They sang along to his theme song, which apparently is called Mi Muero. Holy shit. So good. He comes out in a mask very much reminiscent of the Sin Cara mask from when Mystico went to WWE under that new name. And then he removes it to reveal this Mexican colored mask with AEW Grand Slam on the back of it. And dude, the singing of just this crowd was just unbelievable. Mystico grabs a Mexican flag from the crowd and holds it up. Oh, so good. So good. And I'm not trying to get,
me and JR were watching it tonight. And
I was going to say, I can only imagine JR's reaction.
He literally had zero. JR is my very Hispanic fan that does not know Spanish. So he's like, and his wife was in the other room who does know Spanish. He's like, I was like, is this I heard this is a popular song, but do you know this song or whatever? And he's like, no, I've never heard this song in my life. He's like, I've never heard this song in my life. I was like, I heard anybody singing it. And it reminded me of the first time I heard Kaze Ni Hare, right?
Yes.
And it's like where everybody's singing it and they're waiting for this moment. It's like, Kaze Ni Hare. It was like that version, but it was louder. It was very much like Kaze Ni Hare meets Yeet, you know, because everybody's...
Or meets Bad Bunny's Chambela.
There you go.
When he came out to that.
Everybody's singing it. Of course, I have no idea other than the energy. I'm feeding off the energy of the crowd. I have no idea what they're singing, so... I'm just like feeding off that energy, and it's such a good vibe. I thought this was really cool because let me be real. I didn't understand Mystico until this. Like, I've heard Mystico super over in Mexico. I've seen shows that Mystico's on. Mm-hmm. But, oh, my God, this was like a different level. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, yeah. So this man... So if you're going to do an AEW show in Mexico and you're going to have Mystico on it, that motherfucker ain't losing. They might riot.
Yeah, they protected him. I mean, first of all, the work MJF did in this match was just, oh, he was just, and it worked great too with the story too. MJF just giving it to the Mexican fans and just, absolutely arrogant and just disrespectful and just, ugh, like this is classic.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
MJF heel shit. Like, this is so good. The crowd was vehemently against him. It was amazing. We eventually then would get a report that came later, basically saying how I believe a fan followed him to the hotel after the show, was not happy with him. And I don't think he, the report was that, he went to the hotel, connected to the airport, and basically went after him. I don't know exactly how physical things got or what, how close the fan got to him, basically, but that was the thing that happened.
There's a different breed of fan in Mexico.
Oh, yeah. And MJF
loved it.
And MJF was apparently very proud of that. And I mean, dude, it was so well done. The only thing that was kind of bothering me a lot was the amount of times Mystico was going for the clap, clap.
Yeah.
Bro.
You're cutting out.
Like, the amount of times he did it, I was like, guy, like, let the crowd, like, you're going to hurt their hands at this point, man. Like, give it a breather. It was the only thing I was just like, Mystico, like, can we stop clapping for, like, five goddamn seconds and wrestle the match?
Yes. He couldn't quit clapping. He couldn't. He had to clap.
No, that was the only thing I was just like, Jesus Christ, man. I mean, like, come on. But I honestly, other than that, though, the energy in this match was just fed off. Like, this match was, massively increased in terms of, like, enjoyability because of how into it the crowd was. And then MJF, like I said, it worked so well with the story with how Max was so big on fucking with the crowd. And MJF, I mean, MVP is just like, fucking pay attention. He's going to counter you. He's going to beat you if you don't, like, you got to lock in. Like, I loved how MVP was treating this whole ordeal. But eventually, after he hit a low blow while the referee was distracted, he kicks out. But then MJF was basically just like, you know what? Fine, you kicked out of this one. You're not going to kick out of this one because I'm ending this match. And low blows him again in front of the ref, DQ. And then he rips off the mask of Mystico.
And then puts it on, baby.
Puts it on him, yeah.
Yeah. That is probably the part that got him attempt attacked.
Guaranteed. Guaranteed, yes. That's what it was. Right. Eventually, though, Bandido, Templario, Tenton, and Kevin Knight and Speedball come out, clear out the ring, and chase everybody off. Fucking MVP doing his fucking, like, back off with his cane, made me laugh. They gave a backup mask to Mystico, which was cool. The moment was on the whole ordeal of Mystico's entrance and MVP's heel heat. That's what everyone's going to remember from this match.
Yes.
And
if this is not leading to a match at All In, I don't understand wrestling.
Yes.
It just feels like this is leading to a match at All In.
In Texas, I feel like you'd get a huge reaction as well.
Yeah, and I've heard mask versus hair. I've heard all sorts of things. I'm down for it. Like I said, I didn't get Mystico. Didn't get him. Then I got him. All in one moment, I was like, yep. Big, that guy's a star. He needs to be on All In. I saw that entrance. I was like, okay, he needs to be on All In.
Yeah, no,
yeah, I mean... Hey, yeah, like I said, I've seen him wrestle, good wrestler. I've seen him be very entertaining. I've seen matches I liked. I've seen matches I didn't like. I just heard that he was this god in Mexico, and I had never seen it. I saw it. And yes, absolutely. No doubt. There's no doubt in my mind anymore. Hell, if they wanted to throw a title,
really good stuff.
If they wanted to throw a title on him, so it'd mean more. I wouldn't be mad. He's Mystico. Yeah.
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 So yeah, we move right into the 4 million pesos high flying four way between Ricochet, Hologram, Leo Rush, and Mascara Dorada. And this was by far, I would say, the match of the night. This was just fucking such good work between everybody in this match. Hologram and Mascara working together were doing some shit. I was like, what the hell am I even watching? Like, they were doing some incredible, impressive teamwork stuff. Ricochet getting heel heat as well, and this was awesome. And honestly, I was just hyped to see that Hologram was getting a good reaction too, because he's an AEW original and just coming to like a CMLL like venue and getting a good reaction was something that I was hyped to see, honestly, because it could have easily have been like a scenario where, say, if he wasn't booked correctly or if people just weren't connecting with him, he could show up and people would just not take to him. But people took to him, and Hologram was getting great reactions, which I thought was awesome. And then Leo Rush actually did some really cool stuff in this match too. I was hyped that he was able to hold his own in this as well. I've never really questioned Leo Rush when it comes to wrestling. Character-wise, I've just never really been sold necessarily. But wrestling, dude can do some dope-ass stuff.
Yeah, Leo Rush is one of the most versatile people. Can you hear me? I just said Leo Rush is the one of the more versatile people in the company. He works his style, and it seems to work with everybody that he works with.
Yeah, no, and I can understand that, too, just from watching him work. There was a point where Hologram dove in, did a suicide dive to the outside onto, I believe it was Leo Rush, and he kind of went fucking head first, and it freaked me the fuck out. If it wasn't for the fact that I found out those barricades are a little bit more padded than others, like, that would have freaked me out even more. But the Poison Ranas that were used towards the end with Leo Rush hitting like three of them was really cool from him. And at the end of the match, though, it was Hologram remaining undefeated, hitting the portal bomb and getting the 4 million pesos prize. Just massively entertaining. Perfect representation of a collaboration between AEW and CMLL, I feel like. And just awesome, awesome stuff. Match of the night, for sure.
Very entertaining match. Coming home with 200,000 more. It's going to be a good time. And, I think this is going to lead to Ricochet being a little pissed off, right?
Oh, I would think that much, yeah.
Yes, absolutely. He's like, that's the second time he's missed out on money, right?
Yeah, no, he's missing out on that bag.
Yeah, so, you know, he got stuff to buy. He got to buy that, the gel for your hair so that bald head can shine, you know? That's what you got to do.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So he has to get his vengeance.
Yes. We then had the CMLL Women's World Championship match between Mercedes Moné and the champion Zuxis. And this was solid. Honestly, I thought this was a pretty solid match. There was a nice Spanish fly that was honestly pretty brutal, I felt like, watching it. And it was pretty physical for the most part. The match kind of ended kind of quickly, honestly, was the only thing, was that there was like a kind of interesting power slam that was used from the top rope that kind of finished the match like kind of out of nowhere for the most part. But I thought it was really solid. I was a little bummed out that this was our only women's match on the show. I'm sure a lot of people complained about it a lot more. I was disappointed. I would have liked to have seen another women's match personally. And I know she wrestled on the Ring of Honor CMLL show that was taped on Tuesday. Would have liked it if Thunder was actually on Dynamite, you know, on Grand Slam.
Yeah. Just
personally, I feel like it's not hard to put her in a match with some talent or just be able to get some more women on the card. It just didn't seem like it would be something that would have been that difficult, but, you know, I get it. 2.5 hours, I understand, but, like,
I don't know how many women's matches they're used to getting, because I watched the CMLL show on Tuesday. They had Red Velvet and Persephone in the first match, and that was it, and it was a 2.5-hour show.
Yeah.
So, that just might be, but, again, we see it enough in Dynamite that might not be the case. I don't know why there was only one match. What is it, being 23 days away, with All In being 23 days away, you think they give us a little, try to build a little bit more women's stuff. You know what I mean? We got the one big women's match. I'm going to say it all in. At least two more women's matches is needed.
Yes.
And of course, I want one of those casino battle royals or whatever, but that shouldn't be the only other women's match. Again, that's just, like, my preference is that there is so much talent on this company, with the Willows, Chris Statlanders. There's so much of that talent that's right under Mercedes and Tony that with you tying up, you know, all the belts in that one match, right? You're going to have to do something in the rest. Like, I know we have ROH on Friday, but with her winning, maybe do a Fatal 4-Way or some kind of match for the ROH women's title on All In. Because, Athena was like, I might not be on the card. And, of course, it's this far away. So, you know, she might have been trying to work us, or she might not really, you know, be on the card. But if Athena's not on the card, that annoys me.
That annoys me as well.
She is that.
Dude, it's in Texas. Come on.
No, and it's like she's from Dallas. I mean, Arlington is in the Dallas-Fort Worth metro area. That is all considered that area. She has the longest reign of any Tony Khan title. I think she has the longest reign of a title in professional wrestling. Like, through all the companies, through everything, she has the longest reign. It needs to be on All In. There's no reason it shouldn't be on All In. I mean, I'm not going to be like, oh, God, I'm going to boycott anything. I mean, but I would be a little annoyed if Athena can't find her way on the show.
Yeah, I would be as well, especially just considering that it's in Texas. Like, come on, let's take care of this.
Yeah, she's carried ROH on her back, so I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah, get her on the show.
Get her on. That's what I'm saying. But Mercedes Moné was the one who was able to add another belt to her collection. She's the legitimate belt collector right now when it comes to AEW, winning the CMLL Women's Championship from Zuxis. I'm sure I'm saying that wrong.
It's Zuxis, but it's close enough.
Yeah, Zuxis,
close enough.
after the match, though, we see on the video screen Toni Storm in a little kind of noir kind of production. And then as she's doing her little promo in Mexico on screen, she appears behind Mercedes Moné in Carmen Sandiego gear. And she gets a little revenge on Mercedes for what she did last week with doing her little sniff taunting thing. And she grabs Mercedes from behind, German suplex her. And when she threw all of the belts, like when all the belts went flying from her, I was crying. It was so funny. And then AEW then tweets out an edit of her dropping all the belts and then also having Sonic rings fly away from her body like she'd lost them all.
That was funny.
So good. Oh, I was laughing so hard. It was honestly such a great spot, and it was unbelievably entertaining. Tony gets a little bit of hype going into her match. I'm very excited for Toni Storm versus Mercedes. Like I said, it's going to be great. I'm incredibly excited to see, like, the 1-1A in AEW's women's division go at it at this point. That being said, like Floyd said, we're going to need at least three total women's matches on this card for us to be.
Because you got to think about it. The show's going to at least be 4 hours.
Yes.
Give us three women's matches.
You can do that.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a thing that's difficult.
I'm not saying 50-50. I'm not saying anything like that. But again, give us three women's matches.
Yeah. Like, come on. Let's go. Finally, main event time, 10-man tag between the Death Riders and the Young Bucks. However, of course, we had no Claudio Castagnoli, so Beast Mortos was...
Yes, apparently he hasn't...
Huge return to Arena Mexico.
Yeah, he hadn't wrestled there in like over 10 years. Tony Khan had to basically go to the CMLL president and get it cleared for Beast Mortos to be on the show, and I'm very happy. And because it was reported by TMZ from Mercedes and Beast Mortos, congratulations on them being a couple now.
Yes. Again, yes.
Yeah, I saw somebody reply. I have to, it's a little sidetrack. Somebody reply, who cares? Let wrestlers live their lives. I'm like, they're the ones that broke the news.
They shared it. Yeah, they shared it.
They broke the news. This is not like, hey, somebody in the back leaked it. They just told us. Congratulations. Whatever. Yeah, people are crazy.
Yes, I'm going to agree with you with that for sure. But so, yeah, Beast Mortos joining in with the Death Riders with the Young Bucks for the tag match against Will Ospreay, Swerve Strickland, and the Trios Champions, the Ops. And entertaining stuff, honestly. Ospreay just killing it in this match, man, even though he's still got the busted up head from... And the black eye from his last encounter with the Young Bucks. They targeted that early on. Young Bucks were able to just get a lot of heel heat from this too. Super kicking motherfuckers and doing everything like that. Yeah. Marina Shafir distracts referee. John Moxley gets the advantage. And then rolls up Swerve Strickland by grabbing the tights to get the pin. Go right at Strickland and continue to beat him down. And then, of course, as we heard from the beginning, you know, obviously, Hangman was banned. But they didn't say anything about after the match. So after the match, Hangman comes down and all hell breaks loose, goes right into a head-on-head with Jon Moxley and starts beating each other down. Tries to hit a buckshot lariat on Jon Moxley, but he hits Matt Jackson instead. And Nick's like, what are you doing? And, what's wrong with you?
And Hangman,
why would you do that?
And in a proud moment for Hangman, unlike all the other stupid baby faces in the world, he shows no remorse. You shouldn't have gotten away.
Goes, yeah.
Yeah. I was like, yeah. He was basically like, you shouldn't have gotten away. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. It's just yeah. Like, fucking cry about it. Yeah. I don't give a shit.
And I love
it. Wipe it off.
Because, you know, I have this thing with stupid baby faces. So.
Yes. There's no reason why he should feel remorse for doing that. They've been dickheads this entire time. Why would you feel remorse just because you used to be friends?
Yep.
I don't care. You stepped into a situation you shouldn't have stepped into.
Correct.
So, dude. I'm getting back on the Hangman train. I was off it for a little while, honestly. I was all everything wrong, Swerve did nothing wrong.
Yeah.
I'm getting back on the Hangman train with what he's been doing recently, I will say.
I'm going to
And they're doing everything that they want to happen with fans' reaction to Hangman, I'm following head first into.
And I hope I'm allowed to disagree with the consensus. I am not back on the Hangman train.
You aren't.
Yes, I don't know. I mean, I guess there's everything to like about him, and I'm just like, he's fine. Like, I keep saying that he has to win it all in, and I'm like, I'm okay if he loses.
He does.
I'm okay if he loses.
See, I'm not, just because I need this Death Rider shit to end.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing. I think it's gotten remarkably better, so I don't even care if it ends. I actually enjoy the Death Riders now.
Can't have too much of a good thing now that it actually has gotten good.
Yeah, so I'm just like, keep going.
Yeah, but regardless, really, really cool closing moment for the show on and it was just an entertaining moment with AEW. I feel like this people are going to remember this show for the incredible work done by the crowd in this show and just how engaged they were. Mystico's entrance, MVP's heel work, and being followed back to the hotel by an angry fan, and then Hangman's Spanish promo at the beginning of the show, and just the fact that, again, too, I mean, like, not trying to be involving real life shit in this because we're just a show that likes talking about wrestling, but considering what's happening and considering everything surrounding the United States and Mexico, it's cool that this happened when it did, and cool that it went off without a hitch, and cool that the partnership was well done, and it created a really cool show. It created a cool moment and just something those fans can take home. More than anything in the world, because like Hangman said, though, it's like when we all work together, we can change the world, and it's 1,000% true, even if it is corny. But it was a genuinely heartwarming thing, to see how the show went down. It wasn't like a spectacular show, but it was a cool moment in AEW's history and a really nice night for wrestling and Lucha Libre as well, for all the for the Lucha wrestlers and Mexican wrestlers that competed on the show, too. It's a really cool moment as well for that.
Yeah, the crowd was legendario. Yeah, that was a hard translation. I was like, I looked up legendary in Spanish, and it was like, it's legendario. Oh, okay, cool. I will allow it. Shout out to that crowd. 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
I mean, I was in the crowd in Wales, and I remember, like, the first New York crowd, and this is right there with the legendary crowds. Of course, everything that happens, the most recent, everybody's least crowd ever. You gotta know AEW's had some amazing fucking crowds. We were at what's it called, the first dance? Remember that crowd?
Oh yeah.
They've had some amazing crowds. This was right up there with it. I'm never gonna sit there and do a crowd ranking. So I'll just say this was as good as any crowd that they've ever had. So shout out to Mexico. I hope we get more shows, get a pay-per-view there.
Yeah, get them a pay-per-view.
You get them a pay-per-view. Maybe a residency. Because, I mean, it's on Central Time, basically. I want to give everything to them, because when fans show up in crowds like that, it just enhances the program. And honestly, going out of a country for a six weeks to two month period might, you know, it gets you away from America, and it might build up some demand in America again. I'm not saying tickets are doing bad or anything, but you give people some time to miss you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm right there with you with that. Okay. But that was AEW Grand Slam Mexico. So we're just going to quickly go ahead and preview what we've got coming up for Collision, which is back on Saturday.
Nothing.
Which is?
Nothing. Zero matches. Zero matches have been announced for Collision. I went to AEW, went to their page.
They said nothing about it, yeah.
Yeah, they have announced nothing for Collision. It looks like we're going to get everything tomorrow and Saturday, so you will not be really getting a Collision preview, other than the fact that it is taking place in Kent, Washington, at the Accesso Showwear Center. But yes, when you look at it, I went on AEW's page. If I missed something, I apologize. I mean, but I think Austin's looking too. I don't see a match.
Yeah, there's nothing. There's no matches announced on the show. Yeah, there's nothing.
Yeah,
and there wasn't anything really announced for next week on Dynamite yet, too, either.
Yeah, so I just wanted to make that clear.
We're just kind of just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there is a show Friday, a CMLL show on Friday. I'll be watching live. I think I'm going to stream it in the Discord. I'm not 100% sure. Just depending on what I got going on tomorrow night. But, I think the big match, I took a screenshot of it. Now I can't find it anymore. Because I was going to say, since there is no Collision preview, but, there's a big match Friday night. It is literally like, and it's considered an AEW versus CMLL match. Fantastic-a-Mania Mexico. So this is AEW, CMLL, and New Japan. So, looks like we're going to get Red Velvet versus Kira is a match. Oh, Mercedes Moné is defending her title against La Catalina. I think that's the big women's match on that show. Ricochet versus Volador Jr. And then, which is kind of heel versus heel. And then, I think this is the main event tag match, Mascara Dorada and Mystico versus Bandido and Hologram. And what Bandido and Mascara Dorada did, you definitely want to catch that. Like I said, I'm going to do my best to stream it on the page. I'm looking forward to this show. And they may announce some stuff for Collision on it.
Yeah. Now we got a couple other things that we want to touch on, just headlines-wise, before we close out this episode of All Things Elite.
All right, so AEW YouTube Match of the Week, which is where I'm going to start. As they're uploading to YouTube, I'm just going to go on there and look at a match and be like, man, this is match looks cool. You should watch it. That is going to be Kenny Omega versus Will Ospreay, AEW Forbidden Door 2023. Amazing fucking match. Literally, if you know anyone that is not familiar with AEW, but they have a phone and they have YouTube, let them know. You know, help build the fan base. Tell them, hey, go watch Kenny Omega and Will Ospreay, AEW versus New Japan Forbidden Door 2023. Just know, Will Ospreay.
That being
now,
said, real quick,
can you hear me?
Yeah, sorry. That being said, just real quick. Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, that being said, just real quick. I don't agree with the fact that the matches start without the entrances.
Okay.
On the YouTube channel, you gotta upload the entrances too. Like, that's the only thing I got a problem with their full match uploads. Put the entrances in the goddamn thing.
Yeah, because that is so much a part of wrestling, especially when you're trying to get new fans in.
Yes.
Is entrances a part of presentation? And when Will Ospreay, you got Will Ospreay to be like, Ospreay, Ospreay.
Exactly.
Yes, you're missing that. And then Kenny Omega's the over-the-top entrances. But this match was fucking fantastic. So
yes.
Definitely want to decorate. You want to direct your friends to the YouTube channel to check out that match.
It's the match that was so good, it made me kick myself for fucking months because I didn't end up renewing my passport so I could go to Toronto to go see the goddamn thing.
Yes. And I think that
Even though I bought tickets and I couldn't sell them in time, too, so I just wasted money.
Yes, and that was the first AEW pay-per-view I ever missed.
Yep.
That is crazy. So, then on Wrestling Observer Live, we found out Hook is recovering from a concussion. And he will be back soon. The last time we saw him is he came out and attacked the Death Riders during an anarchy in the arena at Double or Nothing. So he apparently is supposed to be back, and he got a major concussion. So they're just he's going through, I guess, the protocols, and he's waiting until he's 100% cleared to come back. That's one thing I do like about AEW and just wrestling in general. And this is not about AEW, wrestling in general. You gotta put the health of the wrestlers first. You know, it's like build your roster deep enough where if somebody's hurt, they can sit out the time that it needs to fully heal before coming back. That is one thing that has improved exponentially over my time as a wrestling fan. You just heard about wrestlers working hard and, oh, I can't pay my bills if I don't work. I'm glad we don't, like, really live in that world anymore when it comes to the major companies. So I'm glad Hook is getting time to heal.
And 1,000%.
June 15th was the 11th anniversary of FTR. It was so funny. On June 15th, I had made this post because Tom Hop had told me that I had celebrated the 10th anniversary last year, but it was 11th. But Dax and Cash hadn't said anything. I was like, do I have the date wrong? And it was. They've just been busy. So they just posted it today. This is their 11th year as a tag team. Of course, my favorite tag team. And they're on their 10th title reign. So the 11th title reign in the 11th year just sound good, right? So funny. The next time FTR wins a title, it pretty much is going to make my title that I have obsolete. FTR, but I'm okay with that because I love my guys. So I want them
exactly.
to win. I want them to win all the belts. And then last thing is the updates on StarCast meet and greets. There was a karaoke thing that was in addition to the StarCast weekend. It actually has sold out for even if you're performing or as guests, it's completely sold out. And I guess they might release more tickets, but as of now, it's sold out. Swerve announced on July 11th. I guess this will be at the same time as ROH. So if you're not, you didn't do the VIP or whatever to go to ROH, they do have an alternative for you. Swerve and Montese are doing a concert, Swerve the Realist, at RBC Deep Ellum. Doors open up at 7, and it's an 18 and up show, so make sure you check that out. I believe Dustin Rhodes has something on that Tuesday, and so getting in extra early, Dustin Rhodes is like doing a speaking engagement. I will try to get those details updated on the page. I was trying to do a quick search for it and couldn't find it. The gold today, the 19th.
Yes.
Did you get anything anybody knew?
Yes, we did. We got the table meet and greets for CD Curry Man, Julia, and Brody, and then The Inspiration.
Okay, cool, cool. And I picked up Thekla, Willow Nightingale, and Megan Bain for the table stuff. And for the pro photo op, shocking. I know everybody's going to be shocked. You might drop your recording, just pause it and get rid of it. I got FDR group one.
No way.
I know, right? So crazy. I wonder if they're going to remember me.
I don't know.
No, but they did announce a lot of...
I wonder if they big league you, though, because they're heels.
Yeah, they should. I deserve it. But you know, it's only a few weeks. I'm getting a tracksuit like Stoke, and it's going to say Little Stoke on it when I see them.
Hell yeah.
Because I am Little Stoke.
Damn straight. Damn
straight. Yeah, I wonder if he's going to kick it. I don't even know if he's in the picture. He hasn't been announced for the picture, but when on the show, they said he was two-thirds of FTR. So
yeah,
I feel like
he's on the team, yeah.
Yeah, he's on the team, so he has to... being the photo op, you know, that's my that's my big brother. You know, I've been looking up to him my whole life. It is very much an R-Truth John Cena situation, as in I think I'm 12 years older.
For real, honestly though.
But that he's my big brother. I was gonna announce so the people that they've added, just going really quickly, of course, Christopher Daniels, Curry Man, two completely different people. Sky Blue was announced. Jeff Jarrett, Karen Jarrett. Hologram was released. Released as available this week. Penelope Ford was also there. These people are all on Friday. The Saturday is mostly Legends, and the aforementioned Inspiration was added. Blue Panther, Hechicero, Indy Hartwell, Tito Santana, Dory Funk Jr., Stan Hansen. John Bradshaw Lakefield. Yeah. Lance Archer. Dude, I'm like, I kind of want to pay for Lakefield and Stan Hansen and hope they're next to each other so I can just get one photo with the Masters of the Lariat. That would be cool.
There you go.
And then as far as pro photo ops that have been announced, they added Adam Cole and the Paragon, FTR, John Lakefield, Mark Henry, Paul White, which I don't think I ever have a picture with the Big Show, so I might actually pick that up at a later date. Thekla got announced for a pro photo, so you can meet her at a table or do a pro photo. Again, if you have any questions about StarCast, you can at Floyd Johnson Jr. on Twitter, anything about the photo ops, what they allow signing. Only reason I say that is I might be more accessible than the actual StarCast Twitter or whatever, because they're going to get a lot. I personally have been to a lot of these, so I know a lot of the information, so I can be an asset in that situation if you choose to use me. If not, whatever. I don't care, you know, but I am available. So between me, Austin, Sydney, JR, you know, like our crew, I think we've been to like all of the StarCast between our crew.
Between all of us, yes, no question.
We've been to all the StarCast, so we are a wealth of knowledge if you need it. And
yes, and also too, for people who are going to miss out on the karaoke with it being sold out, your boy signed up to sing.
Yes.
And I will say, because of course they said that they're going to pair us with talent, and I think they're pairing us. I don't know if we're actually going to be able to choose our talent. In terms of, obviously, she hasn't been announced, but if Harley's not at this thing, I'm going to be very disappointed. Because if she is there, I need to sing with her. But if not, I need to sing with Thunder Rosa.
Okay.
I need to sing with Thunder Rosa.
Because
okay. we technically already did on the cruise when she sang... You Ought to Know by Alanis Morissette, basically directly at my face, and it popped the living shit out of me.
I didn't want to sing, so I figured I had plenty of time to buy a GA ticket, so I didn't buy one, and then it sold out.
Damn.
That's on me. I just didn't think it was going to sell out. I thought I knew to singing with people would sell out, right? Right? Yes. I knew that.
But you
was,
thought general, you would think, like, who's going to want to pay to go see a whole bunch of people and wrestlers?
Yeah. So now I felt like...
Dude, it's a big fucking thing. People love that shit.
Apparently. And then I talked to JR, and he's like, well, I'm not singing, so I don't know if I wanted to go. So I literally was waiting for his program. He was running a program to end, and I was going to sell him on it because I'm like, dude, the wrestlers... The reason I was going to go is wrestlers are just more accessible than internet. They're just walking around. You can kind of chat. You know, don't try to take up too much of their time. But you can kind of chat, get a quick selfie, and move around. They just seem much more low-key at those karaoke sessions as opposed to, you know, you got your formal meet and greets and stuff. So I always want to go to that. So, but, you know, I'm going to be traveling with my wife, JR, and his wife. So I needed yeses from everybody before I bought the ticket. So that was the cause of my delay. So now they don't have to say yes because we can't go. So we'll figure out something to do.
And Sid's going to be getting videos of the whole goddamn thing, too.
And you know, it's kind of late at night. And again, aforementioned, not young. So I'm probably just going to sleep.
Yeah, no, there you go.
Because I'm going to have a full day Friday with all the meet and greets that I have scheduled, and then I have ROH right after the show. So,
boom.
Yeah, so I'll probably just get some rest.
Honestly, not even a bad idea. Yes. Not even a bad idea.
But, yes, but we are your one-stop shop for any information you need from StarCast. They haven't started announcing the stage shows yet. I'm definitely going to do that. I'm going to say might because... I get ADHD, but yeah, I might even do like a little 30 minute to an hour thing once they start announcing this stuff to just kind of go over everything that's at StarCast. Cause I really want everybody that wants to go to have all the information they needed. And I don't think there's any other show that covers AEW that's going through StarCast and the guest and everything with the amount of detail that we are.
Yeah, no question. But with that being said, I think that's going to do it for this episode of All Things Elite, guys. Thank you so much for the support. We appreciate you guys. If you're enjoying the show, we appreciate it if you continue to download this fine show on YouTube Music, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you choose to listen to us on. Be sure to give us a share with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you wish. Rate, review, subscribe, turn automatic downloads on. Follow us on Twitter at ATElitePod. You can also follow at Social Suplex, who make this show possible. Check all the other shows they got on their network. I am at Austin Sumowicz, S-Z-U-M-O-W-I-C-Z. Floyd is at Floyd Johnson Jr. on Twitter. Go to Chop Tees and buy a t-shirt, and go sign up for the Social Suplex newsletter. Links are in the description of the show. And with that being said, I will pass it off to my buddy Floyd so he can close us out and take us home on this episode of All Things Elite.
Personal note, thank you to everyone that reached out to me with gifts or whatever for my birthday. I appreciate it. I am not a man that really needs a lot of stuff. I have more stuff than I need, but I thank everyone that sent stuff and everything. I always make sure to use it. I appreciate you because, you know, my birthday is like one of my favorite things in the world. You know, dude, it's summer. Dog days of summer because I think we're literally, it's either summer's today or tomorrow. It's about to get hot. Hot makes you irritated. Make sure you're watching out for that. Make sure you're staying hydrated. Make sure you're treating people how you want to be treated. Be nice to everyone. The world, the way it is, whether you find it as a positive or you find it as a negative, whatever way it is, what we can always use is more kindness and positivity in this world. Look out for the person next to you. Look out for the person next to you. Do what you can nice. Make someone's day if you can. And I will leave you how I always leave you. Whether it's home, work, or school, always do your best to be elite.